This is Japan Baseball Weekly. News, interviews, analysis, and your questions, all about NPB. And now your hosts, Johnny Gibson and Jim Allen.
Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. It's for the week of June 3rd. I'm John Gibson, and with me on a Saturday night is Jim Allen, the hardest working man in the business. How you doing on your day off?
I mean, yeah,
exactly. You didn't even get the joke. You didn't even get the joke. You didn't blink. I do work hard, is what you're thinking, right?
No, I'm thinking, where is this guy coming from? Hardest working. I'm the hardest working person at looking and paid like they're getting hard. They're working hard.
No, don't believe it, people. He's doing blogs. He's tweeting. He's got a full time job.
I don't do blogs on my days off the day job. Well, that's my new thing. I borrowed from my friend, my buddy Greg Calcaterra.
But you're saying that's a new thing, but you had been doing them before.
I had been.
So don't interrupt me then.
Well, I figure he can make $100,000 a year not working on the weekends. I can make $3,000 a year not working on the weekends.
Gotcha.
And what makes him so special?
All right. Well, let's get to work this weekend. And on this week's show, we've got Cy Snead of the Yakult Swallows. We discuss interleague, Kazuo Matsui out, Hisanobu Watanabe in for the Lions. We don't go rocking with Roki, and we hit power tracks and handle some high heat. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
All right, so I went out to Jingu on May 22nd, and that was the same day I talked to Tyler Austin. And before I actually talked to Tyler, I had a chat with Cy Snead. And man, I have to say, ever since you got to talk to him and do that interview last year, I've just been wanting to talk to him so badly. He just seems like such a great guy. Mm. And I went out there, you know, to the back lot where they have the indoor practice facility, and you have to wait outside a lot of times to talk to the pitchers. And I went out there and I saw him. Yeah, I got there pretty early, saw him warming up and just watched him as he threw. He did a little bit of long toss and things like that. And then I chatted with him for a second and said, you know, you got time for me today? And he said, sure. And I said, what time? And he said, okay, why don't you, you know, X number of minutes. And I ran back over to Jingu, to the field, to see if the Bay Stars were at least milling around the dugout or anything. And they weren't. So then I ran back to the outdoor facility.
I admire your energy. I'm like going, no, I'm good.
Well, you know, I wanted to try to get two chats in that day, so you got to set it up. So not that long a walk.
It's not that long, but yeah,
but it is a little bit of a trek. So anyway, I talked to Cy, and it was as great. He's as great a guy as I expected. And it was so funny. I think it was either before we started doing the interview or after. We were talking about the fact that he lived in Idaho and that his father moved his family so they could get closer, because his brother also played baseball, and they wanted to get the family closer to better competition. And so I think his father's commute was about an hour from where they were living, but they could play baseball. And I said, yeah, you know, I've been to Idaho. Name some cities. You know, I wasn't Boise, but name some cities. And he said, Pocatello. And I said, yeah, that's it. My friend from high school moved to Pocatello, Idaho after high school. And we meaning our friendship group, we went up there to visit once before. And it's just so funny. I can't believe I was born in Wyoming. But anyway, you know, we talked about that.
Neither can Wyoming.
Neither can anybody else. No. Well, in some aspects, yeah. Definitely. Anyway, Cy had a heavy sigh on Friday night because the Swallows lost on a 3-run walk-off home run from Michael Franco that cost Snead a W. And, you know, that had to hurt. But Cy is 22-18 and 386.2 innings pitched in Japan in 4 years, or 3+ years, if you want to look at it more specifically. And just last night on Friday, I believe some of his W's have been kind of eaten away by the opposition putting together late rallies against that bullpen. But conversely, there have been some starts that maybe he went out losing and he ends up getting off the hook with a no decision. But either way, I'm sure that one had to hurt last night on Friday. you know, we talked off mic about how cerebral a player Cy is, and he said to me, yeah, well, some guys are Ferraris, but some guys are not, and I know I'm not a Ferrari. And I said, okay, well, you're still good. You know, I watched him as he was warming up. He's very fluid in his motions and his movements. And I said, you're still like a, well, I didn't tell him, but I'm thinking, well, he's still a Rolls Royce, something to that effect, because he's certainly not a BW Volkswagen van or anything like that. So, and he has pitched really well during his time here. So let's have a listen to what he had to say this time. All right, we're standing here with Cy Snead of the Swallows, and thank you very much for sharing some time with us today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, how have you managed this fourth season in Japan, being a veteran import and a senior member among the other import guys here?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's a little different because the league is pretty small, so, you know, everybody knowing you and you knowing everybody is good and bad. So, you know, just on the baseball side, there's some of that. But then on the like teammate side, I guess you'd say, you know, trying to help the new guys and guys who adjust. And, you know, it can be all the little things from helping them get the hotel address into the Uber Eats app, or it could be, you know, when we're on the road at some place, showing them, you know, around a locker room, kind of how you get around, or how to navigate this lineup or that lineup, you know, saying this guy, you know, maybe right now he's not so hot, but hey, he's really good. You got to watch out. You know, pitch him like this. You know, just kind of little ideas, but I try not to, you know, impose myself as you know, much as maybe I want to, just because, you know, nobody wants to be told to do all the time. So.
Sure. Big brother, not father.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, like when, if they've got a question with anybody, the new foreign guys or the Japanese guys, like if they have a question that they think I can help with, I'm just love to help.
Good. Now, what have you worked on to improve this season? Because I know you have to change things around each time around, even maybe start to start or inning to inning in some instances.
Sometimes. Yeah, so, you know, I've been trying to work on my fork a little bit, trying to throw it a little bit harder. I'm just trying to get a little more velocity with that while maintaining the shape. So my last start, it was really good, and hope to continue that. It's kind of such a feel pitch, so it's yeah, kind of difficult sometimes where I feel like I do, you know, the same thing two times in a row, and one of them is 130 and one of them is 137. I don't necessarily know why. So it's just, you know, trying to make that consistent.
Being human, I think.
Exactly. Yeah, aren't we?
All right. It's my opinion that they're, I mean, I'm looking at your lineup, but I'm glad you don't have to face them, and I'm right. Sure you are too. But the dynamic lineups in the CL, they're few and far between in some respects. A lot of the teams seem to just pest their pitchers to death. How do you see the other teams in the Central League?
Man, I think they're all really good. I mean, everybody's a little bit different, you know, like, you know, like last night's a good example. You know, the Dragons and the Giants, I mean, it's they tie 1-1, and Tanaka hits a homer.
Yeah.
You know, and like, that's not a guy that you'd expect to...
First career,
is, but it's not a guy that you would expect to do that. He's going to try to hit singles and get on base and everything, right? But, you know, you can't fall asleep on him either, you know, and so you can lose a game on a guy that you're not expecting to drive a ball, drives one, or you know, you don't make a perfect quality pitch to whoever, and they'll burn you on it. And it doesn't matter. Sometimes it's the pitcher, you know? So just kind of knowing everybody as an individual, because I do think that looking at team stuff is just a little bit maybe misleading.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're looking at guys individually, because most teams have some burners at the top of the lineup that are trying to get on base.
Sure.
You have some power guys in the middle. They maybe have some guys that are, you know, they might mix back and forth. Some guys with a little bit of power that are fast that kind of hit towards the bottom, or guys that are maybe a little bit, I don't want to say inconsistent, but maybe, you know, kind of, yeah, just a little bit inconsistent, but that have a ton of power that you really have to respect, you know, and they're hitting seventh. So, you know, it really is just taken hitter by hitter and not necessarily team by team, I think.
I see. All right, the Tigers, I think, are the team to beat. I think everybody would agree with that, mm-hmm. since they're defending champions as well. And I like their combination of pitching and hitting, but all the teams are close. So how do you evaluate the Central League this season as you guys maneuver trying to crawl up and get higher up in the standings?
You know, it's everybody's good. And I think that one thing that that really makes the Tigers good is they play really good defense. You know, their middle infield is really, really strong. They get to a lot of balls. You know, they make a lot of really good plays, and you know, when they're, you know, getting outs on stuff that maybe the rest of the league it's going to be a hit on,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's turning the lineup over one last time. It just piles on itself. Lots of little things. So they play really good defense, not just their infielders. I mean, they all do. And so I think that's a huge one. They also, you know, they, like you said, they are the team to beat. I think they have some good confidence coming into the season. Their pitching's really good. Their hitting's good. But then, I mean, you look at, you know, the Dragons started off super hot. I mean, their pitching is lights out. I mean, yeah, you see it like the back end of their bullpen. If they have a lead, the game's over.
They can close it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Then they've got guys in the middle of their order that absolutely mash. I haven't faced the Carp personally this year, so it's a little bit hard for me to give them a fair, you know.
Assessment. Yeah,
yeah, assessment, I would say. But Bay Stars are always good. Great lineup. You know, they're down Imanaga, but, you know, they're still a really good team. So, man, I think it's so early. And then the other thing is, you know, what team stays healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's so big with, you know, if you don't have, if you lose one of your superstars and you don't have somebody to replace him with, it's a big blow.
Yep, yep. All right, so how much do you pay attention to the other league? Because Interleague is coming up and, you know, Central League has not done well over the years.
Yeah, so, I mean, 2 years ago we you know, slaughtered them. I mean, you know, we were like 15-3, I think, in the Central League. So, I pay attention to them a little bit, you know, just try to, like, kind of keep track of scores and what the standings look like on their side. But after this start this week, I'll really start digging into them and you know, watching video and going through all that. But, you know, having faced most of the other league, you know, even though maybe it's only once or twice,
mm-hmm.
I think maybe I haven't pitched against Rakuten in a, like, an in-season game.
Okay, yeah.
So,
preseason?
Yeah, yeah. And I think I pitched against them during the Olympic game
warm-up stuff
yeah. Mm-hmm. So but yeah, so it's different. And then I feel like half the time for me it's sorting out, you know, who's got traded or who's over here and trying to sort through and Google Translate and, you know, get all that so that I can, you know, not be looking at somebody and go,
where's
realize
Waldo?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, where's, I've been looking around for this guy for 20 minutes. Oh, he got traded. Oh, perfect. Okay. So that's always a struggle.
All right, so how do you like Interleague facing the Pacific League?
I like it. I do. I think it's fun. I think it's cool for the fans. We get to go to cities we don't normally go to, like, you know, whether it's Sendai or Sapporo or Fukuoka, whatever. I really do enjoy going over there. Like last year, we went to Sapporo. I mean, just beautiful up there. Like the weather was great. Like, it was just kind of a cool change of pace.
And the new stadium.
Yeah, the new stadium was great.
Yeah, I haven't been there yet.
Yeah, no, it is worth the trip. It's really, really cool.
I'm going.
Yeah, but so yeah, I like it. I kind of wish we would do like two sets of Interleague. I think that'd be really fun. Like a first half, second half. I think that'd be cool. And, you know, and then the same thing. Like, we just play the same teams over and over and over. So it kind of break that up a little bit, which would be fun. But
more Interleague, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool.
All right, last question. You pitch well in general, no doubt, but you seem to really own the Dragons through the years. What kind of Harry Potter sorcery are you using against those guys?
You know, there's nothing special. And, like, I mean, I've had some really good starts against them. I've had some starts where they've crushed me, too.
Well, I think
so,
maybe two or three in,
you know,
4 years, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, things I've had a lot that are just kind of middle of the road as well, like that are a, you know, quality start, a 6-2 or something like that.
Sure.
Which, don't get me wrong, I'll take that all day long. But, man, they're a really good lineup. And sometimes I look up and I go, like, man, I'm through six, or, you know, I'm into the seventh or whatever, and, you know, pitch count's low or whatever it is. And I'm a little, not, I don't want to say surprised that I got here, but it's like, you know, they're, like last year, my first start of the year against them, I had several guys on base, like the first three or four innings, like two guys on base each inning. And was able to just kind of sneak out of it and then end up going 6-1, 1-0. But it's like, man, one pitch different, one ball bounces different, and it's, you know, probably 2-1 we lose. So, yeah, I mean, there's nothing special. I try to, you know, scout every team the same and whatever. So maybe there's a couple of their guys that maybe just, you know, line up right against me or whatever it is. But I'll take it, and I'll take one more and a win.
I bet you will. All right, we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
so
thank
much.
You.
So nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
All
right,
Cy, heavy sigh, I'm sure, with that loss on Friday. I felt so badly for him. I mean, I don't know how pitchers are supposed to react, you know, because they always tell us, well, I knew they were going to get the job done. Our bullpen's really good. And I don't think there's any way on God's green that he could say that after that game, because he looked kind of shocked. I don't know if you saw the replays or anything.
Yeah, I did. And I saw how happy you looked in the eighth inning.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so in the last three games, he's allowed four runs in 19 innings, 1.89 runs per game.
Yeah.
So, you know, and as you said, I think what you said is very true. He has a really, really good record. And the Swallows, for the first 2 years he was in Japan, had a really good bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
And since last year, it's just been trouble. You know, it's like, and I really am keen to talk to pitching coach Tomohito Ito and get his take on it, because, you know, last year we knew it was going bad, and we knew, you know, they want the guys, and I hate to keep playing the same script. They want the guys to go throw strikes and get ahead,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't, you know, some guys, they just can't seem to match the policy with what works for them.
Okay.
And so yesterday, Hiroki Hasegawa, you know, they want him to get ahead in the count, and Hiroki Hasegawa was trying to get ahead with a changeup in the strike zone, except it was way up in the strike zone and sat there like it was on a tee. Michael Franco, like, first pitch as a pinch hitter, and whack, and game's over.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's kind of where it's been for the Swallows. They have, you know, for the last 2 years, they had, you know, when the bullpen was in a transition, they had, and now we're talking about Swallows stuff. So maybe I'll get back to the Cy Snead stuff in a second. But yeah, last 2 years, they've been kind of a transition. And this year, Kazuto Taguchi has been rough.
Mm.
And that he pitched really well. He pitched really well on Thursday. And I expected to see him in the eighth inning. And I thought, okay, this is the guy we're going to see in the ninth inning. But they kept Jose Espada out, who was really good,
mm-hmm.
for an inning plus. And then he gave up two hits and then, you know, and set up that. And then they took him out. They took him out. And that was that. But he was, I've been very pleased with Jose Espada. But anyway, that's digressing. Yeah, it has been hard for him. And like I said, the bullpen used to be really good. It helped him get a really good record. And right now he's sort of like, you know, seeing how the other half feels.
Mm.
So, you know, but I do love his approach. He's really, I loved what he said about not sleeping on the guys who don't hit home runs, because those guys seem to be the ones who torment him. It's the guys, you know, it's a guy who, you know, if you throw a fastball, if you're in the strike zone, if you're a pitcher who likes to stay in the strike zone, like Cy Snead does, and you can, you know, it's going to be a splitter or it's going to be a breaking pitch or it's a fastball. If you look for one of his pitches to be a mistake and he mm-hmm. throws it, this is where these little stick insect guys, basically, you know, they hit their three home runs a year against guys who stay in the strike zone and who will sure. miss a pitch. Sure. And they're looking for one, you know, their whole thing, that whole day is I'm only looking for one pitch against this guy. And they're just geared up for that one pitch for it to be in the middle of the zone. And, you know, and he hits his one or, you know, his first or second home run. And you just see it over and over and over in Japan. It's like, you know, who is this guy hitting the home run and can't sleep on him, but you also can't change the way you pitch. And it's just part, you know, it is part of the game. And the other thing I would, I guess the last thing I would make, it's obvious when you asked Cy about the other teams in the league, he was just so full of praise. You know, it's almost like, I don't know, but I get it. You know, I don't think the teams are, you know, relatively speaking, they're not as good as he makes them sound. But when you've got to play against these professional baseball players, teams of professional baseball players, it's really hard.
It's hard to make them look bad.
Yeah.
And they look bad a lot. They do look bad. But I think part of it is the pitchers and the pitching and the pitching plans are making them look that way. Yeah.
Sure. But when you're the pitcher, that's hard work.
Yeah.
You know, that's not, these guys aren't easy outs. I mean, even the bad teams aren't easy outs. So I absolutely get where he's coming from. I mean, you know, if you look at the Tigers, I was curious to see what Delta Graph's analytics stuff say. Now, I am absolutely I don't say I despise war, but I'm not a fan.
Nobody likes war, man.
Nobody likes war. I am not a warmonger. War wins above replacement is not my cup of tea.
Okay.
Although the results are very, the overall big results are often reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
The balance is weird. The defense, the defense is the problem with war and the overall valuation of pitchers, in my opinion. But anyway, their evaluation of the Tigers was the exact opposite of Cy Sneed's, is that they were basically the worst defensive team in history.
Yeah.
I certainly get what he's saying. You know, they've got, you know, they do have fairly good range. They got guys who got fairly good hands. They do make a lot of errors, and sometimes they make errors. You know, I'll dig. Okay, history lesson. One time, Dan Gladden was an outfielder for the Yomiuri Giants, former MLB guy with the Giants and Twins, and probably some other teams. And I was listening to a game on the radio back in the days when I did that, and I'm listening to the Giants game and. Gladden's got it. Gladden's on the run. Gladden's got it. Great catch. Great catch. Bonehead play. He dropped it. What a bonehead. What a lousy outfielder.
This is in Japan then.
This was in Japan. Yeah. Exactly. So it was, you know, it was a fantastic play. They're saying this is a play nobody could make. And then he dropped the ball. So he was a waste of space.
Right.
You know, and this is really the Tigers' dilemma. They sometimes do, you know, as Takuma Nakano and Seiya Kinami and even Koji Chikamoto will get to balls other people wouldn't, and they just don't get them all the time. Okay, geez, Louise. So anyway, that's my gripe about that. But the last thing I want to say is that when teams, you know, his. It's almost like it's the Swallows thing. When teams stay, it's all about what team stays healthy, and that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And the Swallows have already, I think they need, I don't know, a police line or something, you know, crime scene around center field at Jingu Stadium. Their center fielders keep getting hurt.
Yeah, yeah. Who they was it the other, Maruyama, was it?
Yeah, well, Maruyama's back, so that's good because Koshien took a bite out of him and then Jingu took a bite out of him, and I haven't seen how much is left. But, yeah, Yasutaka Shiomi is out essentially for the second season.
Yeah, yeah, we did. Did we mention that last week? I don't think we did, that he blew up his knee and he's gone for the season, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I told the story about him. I talked to him in April. I said, what happened to you last year? And he said, gosh, this is the thing. The Swallows got the WBC does weird things to people, and it did weird things to the Swallows before the WBC. And one part of that three-part story is Yasutaka Shiomi in December was thinking, I could get called up to play on the WBC team. So he started his off-season training like 3 weeks earlier than usual when his body wasn't ready. And he went into camp essentially hurt from overtraining, and it mm-hmm. wiped out his entire season.
Yeah, yeah, you told us that story before. Yeah,
but
yeah, I know who was the player recently who was carried off on a stretcher. I can't remember who
that was. Maruyama.
That was Maruyama. Okay, but yeah. He's back now. Yeah, it looked like. I mean, it looked like an ankle, so I didn't think it was that serious. But he couldn't walk, so I thought it might have been broken. So I'm glad he's back. But yeah, so in terms of the chat, geez, that was a long time ago that we were talking about Cy Sneed, but
Hashtag high heat.
I love that he knew about Mikiya Tanaka of the Dragons hitting his first home run. And to me, right when I heard him say it, I thought, okay, this means he either watches the highlights, you know, because I sometimes ask the player, do you like to watch the highlights each night and watch Proyaki News? So he's either watching the highlights or he was getting ready for his next start, which coincidentally came about 2 days later on May 24th at Nagoya Dome. So I think it was the latter, but at least he knew, and he knew about Tanaka. Either way, I thought, you know, he was way too complimentary of the Dragons. I didn't think that they were that, you know, that they have been, let's say, yeah, I mean, the way he makes it sound, it's not easy. But then I thought about what you said. I was thinking about that, too, when I heard him say that. I thought, well, as it was a movie, White Men Can't Jump, and it was Wesley Snipes who made the line.
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, he said, it's hard work making you guys look this bad. And so, and that's, I mean, it really does take work. You can't, it's not easy. So I understand that, but the Dragons might not be a great offensive team. And I think people know that. So the cat's out of the bag, but it doesn't mean, you know, it's easy to get through the lineup like he did. And he said it even, he said, you know, I'll go up against them in sixth or seventh inning. I'll look up and, you know, I'm through, I'm just deep into the game. And I'm like, yeah, dude, because they're not hitting you. And like I said, you use some kind of Harry Potter sorcery against them. And it was funny. I don't know. I really liked that part. And then anyway, I just really wanted to talk to him. And I was glad we got a chance to talk. And, you know, hopefully we see better results than we saw for him on Friday, that he gets some wins to go with his hard work, because he has really been, you know, like I said, that's one of the things I noticed out there in that back lot, that he was really playful with the other pitchers and he was trying to lead a little bit by example. And, you know, he's comfortable around the guys. He's comfortable doing all the work that the other Japanese pitchers do. So, you know, nothing but the best for him. I'm wishing, because he seems like a really fun guy, and I enjoyed the chat and can't wait to talk to him again. So, go ahead.
Well, since you mentioned it, he's 8-4 in his career against the Chunichi Dragons with a 3.75 ERA and 100 innings.
Yeah, there must be 100 innings.
102/3 innings.
Yeah,
this year
he must have given up the runs in all four of those losses, because the wins he probably didn't give up that many, but I mean, you know, that's memory has it that way. I just remember he had shut him out.
Well, all four of his losses came last year.
See? Yeah. All four. So take that. All right. Well, thanks for looking that up. Now let's make a seamless transition. And how seamless? This is going to be a four-seam transition, because this is completely different. Last week, I had this topic as a possibility, because I made the joke 2 weeks prior about the sucking noise that I was hearing coming from the direction of Seibu Kyujo Mai Station, which is the station that you get off to go to the watch the Lions at their home park. And I said, you know, something's got to give here, because I don't know what it is, but it can't go on like this. But I took it out because we had so much material on, so I just nixed it. Oh. And then I was at the office the other day, and I posted on X as quickly as I could, because I saw that Kazuo Matsui had been not let go, but is stepping aside. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. He's not the manager anymore.
He's convalescing. I mean, technically, the word is he's convalescing.
Well, I hope he gets better.
it's a health break.
Take care of your heart. Yes, take care of your heart. So, and
although
like
I sometimes think they convalesce the managers because the fans are sick.
Hashtag high heat.
Or the bats are sick, or the arms are sick, but something was going on. But anyway, I have my suspicions how Seibu would handle this, and I didn't think it was going to be Watanabe. Kisanobu Watanabe, the former manager who's now in a front office position, coming back down onto the field with his hair grayer, his cigarettes just as long as they were before, and just as puffy as he is. I didn't think that would be the solution, but I thought something had to be going on. And here's what my take on it was from a distance. We see the results. I looked up his record. Matsui, under Matsui, the Lions were 65-77 last year. And so far through this season under him, they were 15-30. So that's 15 under 500. So almost 30 games under 500 with him as a manager. So I thought something was going to happen. But, you know, here's what we get. We get to see the results. We get to see the way the team plays. We get to see the in-game moves. And we see the import players not making an impact or a big impact on the team. But what we don't have the opportunity to observe are the planning parts of the game, the meetings, the strategy, the post-game review of each player with the coaches, the key plays and how they self-scout and how they correct their mistakes. We don't get to see any of that. So, you know, I thought, well, that's not fair, because the Lions aren't, they don't have a great team. There's not a lot of great players out there. how can you fire the manager or blame the manager? But I tell you what I did see, and probably what maybe the Lions did see as they went to make this decision, is that the compete level maybe wasn't great, and the in-game moves could be questioned. I'm not saying they were wrong or right. I'm just saying that they could be questioned. And it just seemed to me that Kazuo Matsui is just such a nice guy. He's like, well, you know, you made this mistake, but we'll get him tomorrow. You know, that's the kind of attitude he had. And I don't know if that's good or bad. I just think it wasn't working, you know, again. So what was your take on the whole turnover of the manager part?
Well, it's interesting because my take on Kazuo Matsui, I had to think about it a bit, but I guess the reason I would fire him, if you had to ask me, why would you fire him? The only concrete reason was, you know, you couldn't find a place for Shinya Hasegawa, who's a really, really a guy who's like the future of the Lions. And he's, he's 22 years old. He turned 22 in May.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's a quality player. I think the player he reminds me of is Takumi Kurihara.
Oh, really? That's high praise.
You know, a guy who's a little bit of everything. He's a base stealer. He's got a little pop. He's got speed. He threw out 9 runners last year in the Eastern League. He threw out 9 runners in like 59 games.
Hmm.
So this is a guy who can play. I mean, he's had 2 really good offensive years in the Eastern League, and he can play. He's definitely in, he's above the level where, you know, he's above, he's in that area. He's in the Seiya Hosokawa area, where it's when you see his numbers, you go, this guy just, all he needs is a chance. And so I like that. But the Lions, on the other hand, they've got 3 or 4 outfielders who are about the same age or just a year or two older, mm-hmm. who've had more chances to adjust and are doing a little better. So Hasegawa, it's almost like the Lions have become the DeNA BayStars. And they keep shifting around outfielders and finding the older ones who are a little bit better.
Okay.
But who really aren't.
Yeah.
Who really aren't, because the younger guys are probably better, but they always go with the guys 3 years older or comes out of college or something. Anyway, so Shinya Hasegawa is probably the only concrete reason. This is a guy who should be playing. A lot of things haven't worked out. And as far as, is Kazuo Matsui a bad manager?
I don't think so.
I don't know, but I know he was blamed. I know there are people in the Lions organization who essentially said what you said. He wasn't. He basically didn't ridicule the play. In fact, one Lions person in the organization, I'm guessing a guy who played in the 60s and 70s, said the reason the Lions aren't winning is because Matsui didn't rip the players in the media.
Yeah, that always helps. You know,
yeah, exactly. And I'm saying that's old school. And on the other hand, Hatsuhiko Tsuji, the guy who he replaced, says, I really like what Matsui's doing. Now, my take on all this is, okay, he's a player's manager.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Sure.
There's nothing wrong with that. But the other side of the manager's job is actually managing. And mm-hmm. I don't mean knowing when to hit and run or knowing, having an eye for talent or any of that other stuff. I mean, actually being in charge of an organization and managing people,
sure.
coaches and players. And there are some guys who are really good at it. And there are some guys, sorry, Shinji Sasaoka, but you weren't one of them.
And you're not sorry.
No, I'm not. But Atsuya Furuta was my all-time favorite player in Japan. And he was a terrible manager. He just couldn't. He wasn't like a good manager of an organization. He wasn't an administrator.
Okay.
And these guys happen. It's not like they're dumb or they don't know. I mean, they do happen. They're managing and they don't really have a knack for it. They haven't developed a knack for it yet. And I think that's the thing with Matsui. I don't think he's developed a knack for running an organization efficiently.
Yeah.
Even a small organization like a team.
Yeah. And I think even, you know, in the short time, of course, the Lions firing the manager and sending, I guess, Nabi Q sending himself down to Nagoya to take on the Dragons. That's not fair because you're going to win 2 out of 3 games, whether you're trying or not.
Wow.
Situation. No, really. Yeah. They didn't have any trouble. They shut them out 2 games. They have good pitching. That's the thing we talked about. Is they have excellent pitching, excellent starting pitching, the Lions do. And so that just seemed to me, I was surprised the Dragons won a game.
I quipped when I saw Watanabe's name pop up. And as I wrote in my blog, there's a whole thing about it. The oddity was that the announcement came 2 hours after the game, and in his post game manager's press conference, it seemed like Matsui didn't know he'd been fired. So I'm guessing the Lions
chicken without a head.
I'm guessing the Lions figured that's possible. The Lions figured out when they were losing that game on Sunday that they'd had enough, and they came back to win, and they'd already made their decision, and he didn't know it. And so 2 hours later, he was apologizing for the team's bad, you know, 2 hours right immediately after the game, he was talking about the plans for Interleague. And 2 hours later, he's saying, I'm sorry, I let the team down.
Yeah.
So, as far as Watanabe goes, as I wrote in my blog, I figured when they were discussing who was going to replace him, Watanabe ran for the door, but he didn't get out fast enough.
He's too old and been smoking too many cigarettes.
So it could be the cardiovascular system ain't what it was. So he should have started speaking Chinese and figured they would understand what he was saying. So anyway, but the Tokyo Sports, which also ran the Matsui's Too Nice one, said that essentially Watanabe's been in charge, and I think this is part of the problem. The Lions have been in a kind of weird renaissance in which they've been trying to bring back as many former stars as possible.
Okay.
Whatever job they can find to shove them into. And the excuse for this program was they're having trouble retaining free agents. And I'm going, that ain't the reason they're having trouble retaining free agents, because it's because ownership says, you want to go somewhere else? Go see if we care.
So the Lions, want some people to get in the organization who don't say that.
Yeah. So I'm thinking the problem with the Lions really is not at the manager level. It's with the ownership. The ownership just can't seem to want to do anything to be on the same page. I mean, they're doing the right things. You know, they're investing in the team. They took that Yusei Kikuchi money and invested in the team and building nice facilities. But until they can keep a free agent, I mean,
or two.
So Hideto Asamura went on to be a big star with the Rakuten Eagles. Tomohiro Mori left the first chance. I mean, he liked Seibu, but they weren't. You know,
yeah.
Hotaka Yamakawa, all the trouble they had, and they said, we want to keep you. And boy, did that go south, go literally south.
Okay, bye.
Indeed. So,
gotcha.
They were saying, like, just get out of here and let's just pretend we wanted to keep you.
Yeah, well, so the Lions won 2 out of 3 in Nagoya. They are 1-1 with the Giants as we sit here tonight, so they have a chance to win that series tomorrow and be 500. And look, they were way under 500 under Matsui, so that's a big improvement in 6 games. So we'll see if they can get that done. Let's make a two-seam transition, and obviously we're not going to go rocking with Roki because he was removed from the roster this past week. Now, I saw a story that said slow recovery in the upper body fatigue situation, which sounds to me like his arm wasn't through. I guess he had maybe not recovered as quickly as they wanted him to or expected him to, and so they're like, okay, we've been resting you a lot your first 3-4 years on the top team, so let's rest you now because you need it. And so they just took him off the roster.
I think that was it. Think that was you know, it's still something that afflicts him. He's his body's still growing. I mean, as scary as that is, but yeah.
Yep. So that brings us to Power Tracks, our first Power Tracks segment of the year. And we are going to stay with the Marines because they are obviously on the hottest stretch in two decades about for this team. 14 consecutive games unbeaten, 11 wins in a row with three ties mixed in. So even the Hanshin Tigers look like they're in control of both of these games, and they lose leads late, and then they end up losing the game on Friday. They lose the game on Saturday. So the Marines are definitely my hottest team in Japan, and I'm sure they're yours. But what's your number two?
He says, laughing. I said laughing because the Marines are not my hottest. I mean, they're the hottest right now, but now that's now.
Well, and as far as about, I guess the whole month, but I mean,
yeah.
What other team are you gonna pick the Hawks over them? What kind of craziness is this? What kind of math?
Well, yeah.
Do you use?
If you count,
show
the last,
me your formulas because mine doesn't taste.
Well, if you count the last week, yes, but we're talking about a month. I mean,
it's 14 games.
Yeah.
That's not a week.
that's
at least two.
Yeah, at least two. I mean, I'm talking about May, and I'm also talking about a little bit about what happened before May. So
I suppose, but we're really.
Yeah, I've got the Marines. I've got the Marines.
Talking about May.
Yeah,
because we didn't need to do a power tracks for our monthly power ratings for April, because the standings told us what we needed to know.
Well, the standings tell you. Oh. Yes, we approach this in different ways.
I see dead people.
No, we look at things in different ways, and we'll just leave it at that. I actually have the Hawks as still the masters of the universe.
Wow, don't the Marines have more wins this month though?
Yeah.
I'm just asking for a friend.
He's in another room. If you say they do, I will believe you.
They do.
Okay. And I say, yeah, but in the big picture, I'm not interested. Basically, the way I do it is you get double credit for this month and half credit for everything before.
No, there's no credit from April. That was April. The standings told you what April was. Oh, well. All right.
Yeah, but those.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but the teams themselves don't change. You see.
Sure, they do. In fact, we got a team that changed managers.
now you're just making stuff up.
I'm bringing facts to your little party here. I'm sorry that I'm, you know, there's rain.
Yeah.
With
oh,
it.
The teams do change. Well, I mean, teams do change slightly.
They don't change now. They change slightly, and by the time we're finished with the show,
results.
Be...
Yeah, but results are what they are.
Okay,
but they don't tell you what's producing the results.
No, but I'll use that to refute one of your points later on in this program, I'm sure. But go ahead. I say that all the time. I'm not a big results guy, so but I can tell you this: you go 14 games unbeaten. You know, with ties thrown in, especially when you have to save those ties.
And it's 15 games unbeaten, just to be precise.
It's 15. Well, it was 14 last night.
11, it it's 11 wins and four ties.
I heard three. Okay. I had three on my.
Well,
last
then
report.
you were wrong.
All right. 15.
They tied against the Buffaloes on May 15th, and two games in a row against the Buffaloes and the Fighters, and then they tied two against the Swallows last weekend. So
okay, all right. Well, they have five ties.
All
together. So I'll buy.
So
that.
It is So it is. Yes, is quite good, but still, I have to go with the other thing, the fundamentals, which is the winning is analogous to base hits.
I got you. I know what you want to say.
You know what
that
I'm
you're
saying.
Not saying. Yeah.
Yeah,
that
there's
the
things
Hawks
that go
look
into
better
the
winning
base
their
hits.
Games. They're more comfortable. They're winning more comfortably. They look better.
They look a lot better when they're winning. That's for sure.
They're scoring more runs. They're pitching well. Blah blah blah. And Lotte maybe has won some games that the team shouldn't have won. They're one run games. They're walk off wins here and there.
Yeah,
really tight games. Everything's a struggle. But yeah, okay, they've gone unbeaten.
I mean, you could go
games,
off and
I
say,
hear what
oh,
you're saying.
You know, you could go and say the teams that win one run games are better teams, but that would be like saying the teams that win the close pennant races are the better teams. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not big on the results, so I hear, okay. I know exactly okay. what you
Anyways,
mean.
Anyways, that's my, and mine has the Hawks still like in another universe, and followed by the Hiroshima Carp. Bingo. Okay.
Where are you putting the Marines?
Fourth. After Behind, the Fighters.
After the Fighters. Wow, I'm going to go all...
you go all whatever you
Frankenstein
go all.
Frankenstein on you.
Okay. go make a monster.
All right, my number one's the Marines. I don't know what you're talking about.
I think I see
about.
Your monster coming. Let's go for it.
My number two is the Fighters. I still don't know what you're talking about. Although they're operating at a high rate. I said it earlier this season. I expect them to be better, but the compete level, the whatever Tsuyoshi Shinjo... Whomever he sends out there, it seems like that guy is out there. He gets the job done. He executes what he's supposed to do. They're executing at a high level, whether it's get a bunt down here or move a runner over there or throw a runner out at the plate if there happens to be a hit. But they're looking really good. And then I have the Hawks. I wouldn't say they're the hottest team. I would say they're the best team.
Not.
But again... The things that you didn't say that I know you meant, which is they're cruising past teams. They're looking really good. Even when they don't win, the opposition has a really tough time getting past them. You know, they might win by 5 or 6 runs, but they'll lose by 1. So they're really good. I understand it. What about your bottom three?
I want to mention the Fighters, though, because before we get to another thing, I had a brief conversation. We had Masao Kida and I had a brief conversation about 2 weeks ago, or maybe it was last week.
No, you spoke about it, yes.
Yeah, and he said, and that was before I went on my rant, before the conversation, before I started ranting, as I tend to do. And the conversation was, you know, what's your job now? The interim GM.
And then he said,
but... The real general manager, the man who is running the show now in Nippon Ham, since Atsunori Inaba fled to take over the minor league manager's job, is Hideki Kuriyama.
Oh.
So he is the guy who's running the show now. And that's sort of like the what's new with the Fighters. And it's not just the Shinjo mute button.
Maybe it's Kuriyama who's got his finger on that mute button.
I think it's Kuriyama who's saying, look, this is how we're going to do things.
And take that stupid mask off. You notice about 10 days ago, Shinjo took the mask off. Although he did, that was going to be my note. Shinjo walked out for the game on Tuesday, was it, I believe?
Oh, at Koshien. Wearing a Tigers uniform.
Wearing his Tigers uniform.
Well, it wasn't his old Tigers uniform.
It was the number 63. Yeah, it was the number 63.
Although he might have been 63 when he's a rookie.
It was the 63, and he said it was from a number that he wore before, but I don't remember exactly what the story was.
Before he was number one, he was 63.
But the league, the MPB instructed him not to do that again, or he would be thrown out of the game.
Oh,
so, yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but he said, Shinjo said, I didn't care what the punishment was going to do. I had to do it once. And I'm like, this guy, you know, there's a mute button, but there's a function button too. And somebody's got to, I guess you can only push one or the other. they could keep him quiet, but he couldn't control what he was doing.
It's like radio buttons on your computer dialog box. You push one, the other one pops unselected.
Pops up. Those 1970s radios. Oh, Jim, you're bringing back old memories. All right, your bottom three. Let's get to it.
Actually, I have a bottom two because it's not a big difference. The bottom two. Well, it's just the way that you know mine's a numbers thing.
Just,
and I
just
look at
make it a buttocks because it's split down the middle.
The absolute worst of the Cebu Lions, and then the
really?
And then the close runner-ups of the Rakuten Eagles, and then the other two guys that are below the middle are the Dragons and Buffaloes.
I got at the very well. Let's start two spots out of the bottom. So at number 10, I have the Swallows because at least they had a pulse. You know, they would score runs. They would have entertaining games, and then they would lose because the bullpen was bad or because they made an error or something happened. But at least the games were watchable. And then I had the Lions at number 11 because, you know, they had to cycle out the manager because of poor performance. But again, they were competing. The games were fairly close and they were watchable. Mm-hmm. The reason I put the Dragons at the bottom is because that woebegone team let the Lions come into the house, punk them, smack around the wife, smack around the daughter, and beat up their mom too. That there was nothing good. I was surprised that the Dragons won one of those games, and they got shut out twice in the process. And quite frankly, I'm seriously starting to think, when is Kazuyoshi Tatsunami going to fall on his sword? Or is somebody just going to have to push him onto his sword from back, just bump him?
The answer obviously is that he criticizes his players enough in the media. So he must be a good manager. No, and I mean, I'm serious. When I say that is this whole new wave managing in Japan is so anti-Japanese culture. You know, Japanese culture is a fault-finding culture. People advance in their groups, in their peer groups, by other people's mistakes. And Japanese schools teach kids that they are all ranked and that basically the one who makes the fewest mistakes is the person who moves ahead. And so they teach all the kids to rat out their colleagues. And Tatsunami is one who is eager to rat out his players to the media. So he's a good manager.
Yikes.
Well, Matsui's a bad manager because he refused to do that.
Yeah. Anyway, we're all different in almost in every spot. Every spot we had different.
But completely different this time. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see how we score these guys for the month of June. Let's make a seamless transition and talk about Interleague. So as we sit here right now, the Pacific League is up 17-10 with two ties against the Central League in head-to-head. And, you know, before Interleague started, I really thought this year I had seen a gap between the two leagues. And it's so clear right now. I don't know how the Dragons, the Swallows, and I'm thinking the Carp, they're bad in Interleague traditionally each year. I think recently they had a decent year, but still, I don't think they're ever in the running to win the thing. And so that doesn't bode well. And those are teams that probably aren't fare well in Interleague this year. Then you got the Giants. You've got the Bay Stars who won. They really cooled off one of the hotter teams with the Fighters. And they're doing it up there in Hokkaido. They're beating the Fighters the first two games up there. Both of them one-run games. Both of them late heroics for the Bay Stars. Tyler Austin hits a home run in the ninth inning to tie the score on Friday, and then they win today. Shugo Maki hits a home run, and they win that game in the 10th inning, I believe that was as well. So cooling off a hot team is impressive, so I think that's really good. But I don't think it bodes well. I wouldn't be surprised so it's 17-10 right now. I wouldn't be surprised if the Pacific League has double the wins of the Central League by the time we get to the end of this Interleague session.
Well, it tends to even out towards the end.
Nah, I don't see that happening. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah, I tell you, the last 3 years, the previous three Interleague seasons, actually the Pacific League's winning percentage was just barely under 500. It's 498. And now if we add this year's results, it's already 535 for the last 4 years. They just annihilated. They just annihilated it. It's sort of like the Central League was going, yeah, we got you guys. We won the Japan Series. We won Interleague. We're winning Interleague. We're on top again. And it's like, you know, it's like a horror movie. You know, it's like Alien. You're done. You've escaped.
Well, I was thinking, you know, the teams with the least amount of experience, and you know, every year we get what happens is these teams, I guess they figure, okay, the teams in the other league, they're studying our front line guys, our top guys, but they're not studying our farm as much. We'll bring up some guys from the farm they know nothing about, and we'll use a bunch of those guys and we'll trick them. And so you see a lot of guys getting starts who don't usually start. You see a lot of players who don't usually are not usually there playing. But so then when it comes down to his more pure baseball, it's, you know, I'm going to go with my strengths and you're going to go with your strengths and we'll see what happens. But if that happens, I guarantee you the Pacific League is just going to annihilate the Central League. They just don't have a chance. There's just not enough talent. I don't see enough talent.
No, I think you're right. And one of the measures that I use when I look at teams trying to develop young talent now is how big their developmental rosters are.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, well, I mean, the number one by far, the Hawks have almost as many players on their developmental roster as they have on their 70-man roster.
Wow.
Which is hard because those guys are on three-year contracts. The Giants are number two, but the Lions are not far behind, and the Buffaloes are not far behind. So there's basically four teams that are going nutso in bringing up talent. And only one of them's in the Central League. And I think that's probably part of that equation.
Yeah.
And what happens is the Hawks' talent tends to end up on other teams.
Well, again, the Dragons, they're not going to be competing for the interleague title. The Swallows
going to be probably competing for any titles pretty much.
The Swallows probably not going to be competing for the interleague title.
Probably not.
And so when you have two teams like that, I mean, I can see there, you list the whole from 1 to 6 in the Pacific League. I could see any of those teams competing for the interleague title. I really can.
Yeah, it's possible.
And they don't have to play Pacific League teams to get there. So that bodes well for them. So,
well, as I told you, I don't know if I mentioned last year or I mentioned, or I probably put it on my blog. There's only one Pacific League team that's worse against the Central League than it is against the Pacific League, and that's the Cebu Lions.
Mm.
And there's only one Central League team which is better against the Pacific League.
The Giants.
No, you wouldn't. And I, as soon as I say you'd never guess, you'd guess. Chinchi Dragons.
Huh?
Well, they're just, no, they sense. Just, no, well, it's basically, yeah, why is...
Why?
They've been so bad against the Central League, but they've been good. I think it's, I have no explanation for it.
Over how many seasons, you said? The past three?
Since the start of Interleague.
Oh.
So you compare their league results in all the seasons since Interleague and their Interleague results. And this coming into this year, the Dragons were slightly better.
What was the percentage? Do you have it?
I don't have it offhand, but it was very, very tiny. And the Cebu Lions were a tiny bit better against the PL. But most of the Hawks have been beating up on the PL. But when they get into the Central League, it's like the hunting season limits are no more. We can kill as many of them as we want.
Make sure you bring the sauce and some napkins.
Exactly.
I was impressed, though, this early in the week by the fact that the Swallows, who I guess used a couple of their top starters, were able to manage consecutive ties against the Marines with all the streak that the Marines are on. So I was impressed by that, because those are like wins. You know, you can tie a team that's hot and you come out of it not losing. Of course, it costs you with using up your bullpen. But
yeah, well, I thought the most interesting thing was the Gregory Polanco, the Swallows getting a Gregory Polanco caffeine headache.
Hmm?
El Coffee.
Oh, that's his
nickname.
Right. But why the headache?
Because he came up on Saturday. He came up in the ninth inning off of Daichi Ishiyama.
And on Saturday or Friday?
On Saturday.
Today?
Oh, excuse me. On Wednesday against the Swallows.
Against the Swallows. Taichi.
Taichi Ishiyama, right.
Yes, okay.
And he singled in the tying run with the bases loaded.
Right.
And then on Thursday, he came up with the bases loaded. And said, let's get Ishiyama out of there. Let's have him face somebody else. And again, RBI, bases loaded, single in the ninth inning that tied the game. Marines were on the way to losing both of those games. So,
Well, that's what happens with these streaks. You know, the games that you start winning, you're supposed to lose, or you usually end up losing.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah.
Streaks happen. You know, Joe DiMaggio's famous streak. I think he had two games where he had one hit, you know, like last at bat, or he was a pinch hitter and he got a hit one game. So it's so much luck is involved.
Yep.
So,
All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, Nils, thank you so much for waiting, and thank you again for the question. And he says, first of all, I want to express how much I look forward to listening to your podcast every week. Wow, man.
Thank you, Nils. Yes.
Warms our hearts. He says, somehow I have lost interest in Major League Baseball. The reason might be having visited South Korea last summer. Every game I watched in South Korea had an atmosphere that I had never experienced when I was watching games in the U.S. After that experience, I found myself interested in Japanese baseball as well. That is how I stumbled across your podcast. In one of the last episodes, you talked about Korean players not playing anymore in MPB and vice versa. That was quite interesting. Can you say why Japanese pitching is, on average, so much better than pitching in Korea? When I was there last summer, I got the impression that starters in Korea are usually pretty good, but the bullpen is not always able to hold the score, even though there are some really good closers such as Kim Won-jun of the Lotte Giants. Talking about pitching, it might interest you that former NPB pitcher Yasutomo Kubo now plays for the German Baseball Bundesliga, the highest league in Germany. The team is the Hamburg Steelers. It is basically a semi-professional league. There are some imports who come to Germany to play ball, but most players are students and have a day job. So far, he has left quite an impression. Yours sincerely, Nils from Hanover, Germany. Jim.
Thank you much, Nils. Yeah. I don't really have a good take on the differences between Korea and Japan, but speaking to Koreans in Seoul and speaking to Dave DeFreitas in Nashville in December, I got a little feel for it, Korean baseball infrastructure is a little weak in terms of their talent pipeline is fairly constricted compared to Japan's. So while there will be times when they have a situation like they have two huge stars coming out of the same like high school district, as happened when Lee Daho and Shin-Soo Chu were pitching rivals in Busan in high school. And they turned out, you know, they were sort of like lifetime rivals. That it happens, you know, when you get those things and everything in Korea is running up. But I think the constricted talent pipeline makes it hard to stay ahead. There'll be times when Korea is like just going gangbusters and times when it isn't.
Okay.
I don't know. Dave DeFreitas said that the thing about Korea is that they lack a little bit. They've got the fighting spirit thing down. I mean, yeah, they've got the fighting spirit thing down. But what they lack is what Japanese baseball had in the 70s, which is that the idea that if you practiced until you bled, you could be a little better.
Okay.
And so that element of you can always be a little better with a little more practice is really a cornerstone of Japanese baseball. It's not always healthy, but it is there. And I think it does help sometimes.
All right. So what I have observed is, I guess, during the Great Depression of the 2020 COVID season.
I thought we were going back to 1930 or something.
No, almost 100 years, but not quite. The 2020 COVID season, ESPN showed KBO games until the major leagues picked up again. And that was my first exposure to a daily Korean baseball situation, because sometimes we would see some games or some highlights here and there, but that's not enough to actually sit and watch a game.
Sure.
Gives you a lot more insight. And then to watch the same team a couple days in a row or 3 days in a row over a series, that really gives you a good impression of what's going on over there. And what I saw was not too impressive on the mound. I didn't see great arms. I didn't see great control or stuff. And that goes for starters and relievers. It just got worse when it came to the relievers, as Nils was saying that, it, you know, sometimes when the relievers come in, it didn't look good. But I don't know what the pay scales for the players are in the KBO. And that seems to me where we should start, because it just seems like pitching is not the priority there. They just look to get good athletes in the outfield and catch the ball once it gets hit. but that they're not trying to strike guys out too much. And it would seem to me that the big bucks go to the hitters. And unless you have elite pitching skills, guys are just better suited, or they're just more focused on hitting. And it's hard to even recruit guys to pitches. That was my take on it, because I didn't know, but I noticed right away, hey, man, the shortstop has a better arm than the pitcher. Why is he not pitching? Mm. And it just seemed to me that there was something off on that side of it. Because now if you go and talk to players, position players, especially some imports, I bet they say, hey, the pitchers are good enough. You know, they're getting enough outs. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, if they're pitching to contact, the philosophy is, well, let's just pitch to contact and use the athletic ability to make outs. Then we'll get the guys out. We'll get enough outs so that we don't lose the game. But here's what I also notice is when you get to international ball, they collect all their best arms and you see really high quality pitching. But the other thing it hit me when I saw this question was when we get to international play, the Koreans put so many pitchers on the mound each game. You know, they'll take out their starter after a couple innings. So they'll just parade a bunch of arms out there to handle these games and these important innings. And they do have quality innings, or I'm sorry, they do get quality innings from those players on the international level. So we know the quality is out there. I just don't know that there's enough of it to cover all the teams and put some of the guys that have enough left over to go into the bullpen. It doesn't look that way. So again, I would look at the money and see how much these position players are making, are their average salaries higher than the pitchers, and go from there in general on whole. And that's how I would do that. But I don't know for sure. And like I said, my only exposure was about 4 years ago. So that's my answer. But thank you so much, Nils, for the question. What an awesome question. And we thank you for the kind words as well.
Yeah, really interesting. I thought I hadn't really thought of that too much. But yeah, there is always an incentive.
Follow the money, baby.
Yeah, there's something to that.
Yep. All right. So anyone else who has a question, hit us up on twitter.com @JBW Podcast with the hashtag High Heat. You can send questions via email like Nils did to YAKYUJOHN@gmail.com. Go to our Facebook page and leave us a message there. Look for us on iTunes. And the last message I got was Google Podcasts through June 25th. After that? Yeah.
They keep saying that, you know, they're like,
the tease is on. That. The fix is in. The tease is on.
Should be.
All right. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
See you at the ballparks.
Follow the hosts on Twitter @JBW Podcast and @JBallAllen. And feel free to submit your questions by email or tweet with #HighHeat. Thank you for listening to Japan Baseball Weekly.